The following audio is from Delta Church in Springfield, Illinois. Our purpose is to proclaim the gospel through the church to a world that needs Jesus Christ. We pray this sermon will aid and encourage your daily walk with Jesus. For more information about Delta, you can visit us online at deltachurch.net.
All right, this morning we're in Matthew chapter 22. So if you grab a Bible, if you're reading from the Black Pew Bible in front of you, it can be found on page 776. We're going to be reading verses 34 through 40. Please stand when you're ready to read God's word with me. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Well, kiddos, we are continuing on in our three-week sermon series, talking about the great commandment that we hear talked about in verse 36. So again, like last week, if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to open them up, ask your mom and dad to help you, grandma and grandpa to help you if you need some help finding this, Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. And what we're going to do is we're going to continue in this conversation, a very real conversation that Jesus was having with this Bible expert who is referred to as a lawyer. He knows his Bible very well. And we're going to see that Jesus not only answers his question, which we saw last week, but then Jesus is going to look at this Bible expert and say, "Hey, but there's something else you need to know as well. Not only are you called to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you're also called to love your neighbor." And we're going to see how these things relate together. And also then, what does this mean for you? Whether you're a toddler, teenager, somewhere in between, what does this mean for you, even as a child, to love God in this way? So the main idea this morning is this. This is like the biggest treasure that could summarize all of these verses and what we're going to hear today from Jesus down into a sentence. It is this: I can love my neighbor as myself. This is something that Jesus is inviting you to see. Even as a child, you do have neighbors, and you can love your neighbor as yourself. So let's pause, let's pray. Let's ask for the Holy Spirit to empower the preaching of his word, so that it's just not Pastor Jonathan up here talking and using his words today, but so that it is a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and his power to make the gospel look great. So let's ask God the Father to do that. Father, we need you to move in power, so we ask in your kindness that the picture I have in my mind is like if this sermon were a ship, what we need is the wind of the Holy Spirit to blow into the sails of the ship so that the ship would move forward, not by any power or strength or just because I'm using certain words today, but because truly this sermon and the explanation of the words of Jesus would be a demonstration of his power, demonstration of the power of the gospel to save us and change us even as children. Holy Spirit, would you do these things in such a way so we would stand back in awe with big smiles on our face and go, "Man, God, he is so good. He's so very good to me." And the proof of that is in the sending of the Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. Help us to see the Savior clearly. Holy Spirit, give us a mind to understand these words and what they mean for me, even as a child. It is in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. All right, kiddos. So here's a question to get us thinking this morning in the right direction as it relates to verse 39 in your Bible in front of you. Here's the question: what does God want from me? What does God want from me? This is a question that you can ask. You can ask this to yourself. If you're in a conversation with God, praying to God, a good question to ask God is this: God, what do you want from me even as a child? Have you guys ever asked yourself that question before? Raise your hand if you've maybe ever asked yourself that question before. God, what do you want from me? How about the moms and dads, grandmas, grandpas, anyone else? God, what do you want from me? Maybe you have found yourself asking this question because you were reading your Bible. And as you're reading your Bible, you began to go, man, I think God wants something from me here. Or maybe you were listening to your parents during family worship, or you were sitting here at church on a Sunday and you heard Pastor Jonathan preaching from the Word of God. And you just recognize, man, the Bible has a lot to say. God talks to me all over the place. And God really wants something from me. But maybe your next thought was this: man, you know what? If God could like just take all of these things and like just summarize it and like just shrink it down to like one little simple truth that I could like hold on to so that I could understand what God wants from me, that would be great. Well, if you have ever thought that before, you're in very good company, because as we learned last week, there's a Bible expert talking to Jesus in our text this morning who is asking the exact same thing. He had this exact same thought. He comes to Jesus after a long day full of questions where religious leaders were asking Jesus question after question, testing him, trying to trap him, trying to make Jesus look foolish. Here comes this Bible expert, this Bible lawyer, this teacher, and he comes to Jesus with a question, but it's a little bit of a different kind of question. We said there's bad tests and good tests. This is a good test. He really is seeking to talk to Jesus with this idea, this attitude of heart. Jesus, will you help me understand what God wants from me? And the way he expressed this attitude of heart to Jesus is right there in verse 36 when he looks at Jesus and asks this question: Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? What's the greatest commandment in the law? And asking this question, this Bible expert wanted to know what God wants from him, because if there is something that God wants from him, that's the thing he wants to do. And so he's talking to Jesus, expecting that Jesus can answer this question. And so if you remember last week, Jesus answered the Bible expert with this statement: here's the answer to your question. You shall love the Lord your God. And do you remember what we said last week? It was three different things. So from the kiddos, what did he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Heart, soul, and mind. Jesus says, here's what God wants from you, and this is something that I would say you can even do as a child. You can love God with all you've got. You can do this. And the good news that we heard last week is that whether you're 5 years old, 10 years old, 15 years old, somewhere in between, it is possible for you to love God in this way with all your heart, soul, and mind, because God first loved us. And the proof of his first loving us is he sent Jesus, his son, to die on the cross to save you from your sins, so that having been saved by God, you could turn around and love God right back. That's what we learned last week. Now, you might expect Jesus to go, that's it, pat the guy on the back, send him on his way. Because if you remember, Jesus was asked this question: what's the great commandment? And Jesus said, here is the great commandment. And then he said, first commandment. And so the fact that he said first commandment sort of implies Jesus is about to say something else. And that's exactly what he did. Jesus didn't just stop there with here is the great commandment, but he says, here is the great and first commandment. Then Jesus continued in our verse this morning, verse 39, and said this: there is a second commandment just like this first one, equally important to understand. So right there with love the Lord your God with heart, soul, and mind, right next to it, love your neighbor as yourself. It's almost like Jesus in saying, yeah, I know you asked about the great commandment, but I'm telling you there's a first and a second. That's how you have to answer this question. It's almost like Jesus was looking at this Bible expert and said, you need to think of the question you just asked me sort of like a coin. And so I have a coin here with me this morning. I don't know if you can see this. I think I've explained before that I served in the United States Army. I served in the Illinois Army National Guard. And every now and then what would happen is if you did something sort of above and beyond the call of duty, you'd get a coin sort of similar to this. This is one I just received recently over Veterans Day, but it's a coin that looks sort of like this. And so what Jesus was saying is to the Bible expert, listen, you need to approach your question like a coin. You don't have a one-sided coin. That's sort of impossible. By the very nature of what this thing is, there has to be two sides to it in order for this to be what it is. And it's like he was looking at this Bible expert and saying, listen, you asked one question, but just like you can't have a one-sided coin, you can't think of your question in just one way. What you need to do is see that your question has two very important sides to it. You cannot separate love for God from love for neighbor. You just can't do it. That's what he's trying to get this Bible expert to understand. It's because of this. When the Lord saves you, when the Lord gives you a new heart, you gain a new capacity to love. Remember what 1 John 4 said. We referenced this several times last week. You have the capacity to love neighbor and love God, not because you're really phenomenal, not because you're super religious, not because you're more spiritual than the person sitting next to you at church this morning. God would say the reason you have a new capacity to love others and love God is because God first loved you and has shown his love to you through the sending of his Son, so that you might be saved and find new eternal life in him. And so if there is real love for God, then what you need to understand as a little one is there will be real love for your neighbor. This is one of the ways that we know that we have been loved by God and we have loved God in return, is that love will flow outwards to others, to those neighbors around us. This is what Jesus wanted the Bible expert to know. And I would say to you little ones, teenagers, toddlers, everyone in between, that this is what Jesus wants you to know today. This is how Jesus wants you to live. So now what you might be thinking is this, phenomenal. Like, is the sermon already done? We're only like 7 minutes in. Now we know what God wants from me. You asked earlier, Pastor Jonathan, what does God want from me? Now I know God wants me to love him and God wants me to love my neighbor. So can we pack it up and go home and just call it early today? But here is the question I have for you. So I've already tipped my hand here. We're not done. We got a little bit more we have to say, because a great question to ask is this. Well, as a child, who is your neighbor? You need to think that through. Who is your neighbor? Because if Jesus is saying, love God with all you've got, and then out of the overflow of that, love neighbor as self, as a child, you should be asking them, like, well, who is my neighbor? Because the command isn't just to, like, love God and then love neighbor, like, in theory. It's like, I am to live a certain way and take certain actions towards others with my love. So the question when we ask, as a child, who is my neighbor, what you're trying to do is, who does Jesus want me to love, even as a child? Is it only the people who live in the house across the street from you? I mean, they're your neighbor. They live in your neighborhood. Or does the Bible teach that there are more people in your life that qualify as neighbors? Well, the answer is yes, there's more people. If you remember in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus taught that everyone we meet becomes our neighbor. So what this means is that your neighbor isn't just the person who lives in the house next to you, on either side of you, across the street from you. They are your neighbor for sure. But your neighbor is also the people who live in the house with you. So it's not just the people in the houses next to you, it's the people who live in the house with you. So think of this. Raise your hand here if you qualify as a child, teenager, toddler, everyone in between. Raise your hands up. There you go. So here's the deal. As a child, your two closest neighbors would be your parents and your siblings. Two of your closest neighbors would be your parents and they would be your siblings. So according to Jesus then, when Jesus says love your neighbor as yourself, what we could say then Jesus is saying to you is love your parents as yourself and love your siblings, love your brothers, love your sisters as yourself. And so then if we ask ourselves the question, well, how can I love them? Because that's a pretty important question. Like, does Jesus show me what I can do to love them? Does he just wanting me to figure this out by myself? And the question is, or the answer is no. Jesus and God's word is very clear in how we can actually love our parents, very clear, and how you can love your neighbor, your siblings, as yourself. And what we do is we get a clue to how we can love our neighbor when you look at verse 40. Do you see verse 40 in your Bible there? Verse 40, Jesus says this, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. In other words, when I said to you, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor, these two commandments, love God, love neighbor, depend all the law and the prophets. And so what Jesus is doing is saying, hey, do you remember your Old Testament? Do you remember all those laws back in Jesus' day that counted up all the laws in the Old Testament that God had gave, and there were 613 of them? Jesus is saying you can shrink all those down to two. Love God, love neighbor. And one of the ways then you can begin to understand how to love your neighbor is to recognize God's law shows you how you can go about doing this. So for instance, think about the Ten Commandments. You guys remember the Ten Commandments? This list of commandments serves like a summary of God's law. So if you look up here, there they are. So like commandment number one is, you shall have no other gods before me. Something like commandment number two is, don't have any false gods, no idols. You see something like commandment number five, honor and respect your father and mother. Commandment six, do not murder. And so one of the ways that all of those laws that God has given, they can be summarized with these ten. But if you notice, commandments 1 through 4 really explain how you can love God. So this is where Jesus is beginning to talk. He's like looking at us saying, listen, do you remember something like even the Ten Commandments? The Bible expert would be like, of course, I'm a Bible expert. I remember the Ten Commandments. And he'd say, remember the Ten Commandments when it's, you shall have no other gods before me, have no idols, don't take my name in vain, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. This is what it looks like to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is how you can do it. You can make sure you're loving God in this way. But then if you notice those other commandments, 5 through 10, they explain how you can love your neighbor. And so if you're sitting here as a little one going, man, so how do I love my parents? How can I love my sibling, my brother, or my sister? What we're going to do this morning is we are going to look at three of the love your neighbor commands in commandments 5 through 10. And what we're going to see is how God's law shows you how you can walk in obedience to the command to love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, love your parents or your siblings as yourself. So here's our first point, little treasure number one. You can write this one down. It is this. I can love my neighbor by obeying my parents. This is something that you can do as a child, teenager, toddler, everyone, everywhere in between. I can love my neighbor by obeying my parents. Remember, a neighbor is someone who is near to you. You interact with those who are around you. One of your nearest neighbors is your parent, and you can obey your parents and thus obey the command to love your neighbor as yourself. So in the fifth commandment, God spoke in the book of Exodus, and he said this, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. That's the book of Exodus. We find the Ten Commandments. But if you go forward into the New Testament, you might be tempted to think this, man, that's just Old Testament stuff. Like, hear the word old, Pastor Jonathan, that's for old people way back then. This has nothing to do for me as a child living here today, but that's just not true. If you go forward and even into the New Testament, What you see is somewhere like the book of Ephesians. The apostle Paul says, listen, I'm going to explain to you Christians, people who have turned from sin, placed faith in Jesus as your only hope of salvation, and I'm going to talk to the children right now at the church in Ephesus, and I'm going to help you understand what it looks like to honor your father and mother in obedience to something like the fifth command. And he writes this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But then he says, let me show you why I can say this. And then guess what he does? He quotes the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. So because your parents are your neighbor, the way you can love your parents as yourself is to obey your parents in the Lord. You not only show your love for God by obeying Him, but you also show your love to your parents by obeying them. So if you're a toddler, teenager, somewhere in between, as a child, you may feel like there's very little I can do to serve Jesus. Like, I have to wait till I get older. Maybe I need to wait till I get a job. Maybe I need to wait till I'm in college. Maybe I need to wait till I get married. And like, when I become like a bigger person, then maybe I can start to think seriously about what it looks like to serve Jesus. But nothing is further from the truth. Right here in Ephesians chapter 6 is a special message from the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul to you when he says, children, he's talking to you as children, you can serve Jesus greatly in the way you obey your parents. This is something you can do. And if you heard, the Apostle Paul isn't telling you to obey your parents because, hey, buddy, they're in charge and you're not, so get over it. Right? This is just what you have to do as a little kid. You just have to put up with mom and dad telling you what to do. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, obey your parents. Do you hear the phrase? In the Lord, for this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It is right for you to obey your parents because when you do so, you're actually loving the Lord your God. Now, what this means is that if you love your parents, let's stitch it all together. Jesus says, love your neighbor, love your parents. Fifth commandment tells us, shows us how we can do this. We can do this by honoring our parents. And Paul says, one way to honor your parents is as a child to obey them. So I'm going to put all these together into a sentence. Listen here, kiddos. It says this. If you love your parents by honoring them with your obedience, the opposite is also true. You hate your parents when you dishonor them with your disobedience. Now, I just use some like really serious words. Like talking about this idea of hating your parents. And you might think, man, like, I don't hate my parents. Like, I love my parents, but what Jesus is helping us see through the rest of God's word is that actually we need to think more seriously about sin and to see that when we disobey our parents, we're actually committing a pretty big sin against God. These are strong words, and I chose to put that sentence, you hate your parents when you dishonor them with your disobedience. I chose to put it this way on purpose. Because one, I want you to see how big disobedience to parents is to God. God doesn't look at that and be like, you know, there's big sins and little sins, and disobedience to parents is a little sin. He doesn't say that. God takes that very seriously. So I want you to see this. But I want you to see how big the sin of disobedience to parents is so that it just shows you how much more you need Jesus in your everyday life. Because all of us struggle with the sin to honor your parents, to obey them. Like, I still have parents, and sometimes it's still hard to honor my mom and dad in these ways. And it just shows Pastor Jonathan how much I need Jesus in everyday life. And that's what I want you to see, is how much you need Jesus in everyday life. We can praise God that when you sin, you can run straight to Jesus, even for the sin of disobeying your parents, and guess what? You can find the forgiveness of sin. And praise God that Jesus is even the source of your strength to help you love your parents in this way, okay? So that's one way you as a child can obey the command to love your neighbor. You can walk in obedience to your mom and dad. Here's a second way that you can love your neighbor. Point two, little treasure number two. I can love my neighbor by putting away anger against my sibling. I can love my neighbor by putting away anger against my sibling. Think back again to the Ten Commandments. The sixth commandment, God spoke, and he says this, you shall not murder. You shall not murder. Now, you, because you're all very smart children, you might be sitting here going, well, this is phenomenal. I've got this commandment completely licked. I have never done this to my brother or sister before. Look, you're thinking in your mind, they're sitting right next to me. I've never murdered my brother or my sister. So, all right, let's move on to the third point here, Pastor Jonathan. Really quick, I have never murdered my brother or sister, but listen to what Jesus does in the New Testament. This is really important. In the New Testament, Jesus helps us to see that we don't just hate our neighbor if we murder their body, but we hate our neighbor when we murder them with the sin of anger in our heart. If you remember in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus consistently in the Sermon on the Mount goes back to the Old Testament and says, hey, do you remember things like the Ten Commandments? And everyone would be like nodding their head, like, of course, right? We learned it in Torah school. They taught us to do this all the time. And Jesus was saying, it's not just enough to see the Ten Commandments as just things you do with your body, but to see that the law of God is meant to even pierce down into the attitude of your heart. Matthew 5, Jesus said this. Listen how he teaches this. He says, listen, guys, you have heard that it was said to our ancestors, do not murder. There it is, sixth commandment. Whoever murders will be subject to judgment. But then Jesus continues. He says this, but I tell you this, everyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Whoever insults his brother or sister will be subject to the court. And whoever says, you fool, will be subject to the fire of hell. Now that sort of like makes you do this. Like Jesus is using some really, really serious words. But that's because the sin of anger is a serious sin. And little ones, listen, Jesus wants you to take sin seriously. Jesus really wants you to take sin seriously. God cares about what you do with your body. But God also really, really cares about your heart. And so Jesus, when he looks at you and says, yeah, like, don't murder. Like, don't kill somebody's body. But like, when your brother or your sister come along and they maybe take your favorite toy, or you're talking with your friend, chatting with them, face-to-face, text message or whatever it is, and they say something to you, and then you start to feel the fires of anger burn very hotly in your heart, what you're not going to do most likely is go and like take a knife and like actually kill their body, but you might start to murder them in your heart with your anger, to think thoughts of anger, think words of anger, have a conversation to where you're like murdering them in your heart because they've made you so angry. Jesus says, that's a big deal. That's not little, that's big. And so Jesus says, take the sin of anger seriously because the sin of anger is murder. And you're not supposed to murder. God cares about what you do in these ways, little ones. Remember what Jesus said last week. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And so to murder someone in your heart with the sin of anger, Jesus is just drawing this out and saying this is the opposite of how we love God. So what can you do? Just by show of hands, this is an all participatory question. This isn't just for the little ones. It's for little ones, toddlers, teenagers, moms, dads, aunts, uncles, grandmas. How many have ever murdered somebody with anger in their heart? Show of hands. Yeah, look around. Keep your hands up. Everyone, little kiddos, look around. Left, right, left, right. Okay, so here's the question then. Since we're guilty of this sin, what do we do? What can we do when your heart is on fire with anger toward your brother or toward your sister? Or to say that question in a different way for you children, how can you put the sin of anger to death and fight to love your brother, your sister, as Jesus has commanded us? Here's the answer. It's by bringing your sin into the light by confessing your sin. Bring your sin into the light by confessing your sin. So one of the things that's just so tricky about the heart is these attitudes of heart, they can sort of hide in the dark. But this is sort of like my way of explaining this. When we let sin just sort of fester and hide in the darkness of our heart, it's sort of like finding like that old, moldy, really gross and disgusting piece of bread that's been hiding in the dark back corner of your refrigerator. Has anyone ever seen crusty, old, moldy bread before? Full, sort of just really gross and weird, and you're like, ugh. Sin is like moldy bread. And when it hides in the dark, it festers, it grows, it becomes really gross, really disgusting. Nobody wants anything to do with it. But the thing is, when you pull bread out into the light and you eat it and you enjoy it, guess what? It's good. And so what this idea of confessing sin is like is this. When you confess sin, what you're doing is saying, hey, in my heart, right now, I'm being tempted to murder my brother, murder my sister with anger in my heart. And so what you do is you pull that sin out into the light, and you can confess that sin. You can confess it to two different types of people. One is you can go to mom and dad. You can just be honest. We talk about this as moms and dads in our community groups all the time. We need one another because I need you to know me and you need me to know you so that we can be honest with one another, pulling sin, that moldy, yucky, gross, disgusting sin out of our heart and saying, hey, man, I am tempted to do this here and I need you to pray for me, mom and dad, right now. Like, you can do this as a 4-year-old. You can do this as a 6-year-old. You can do this as an 18-year-old. Confess your sin, pull it into the light and say, I need you to help me put the sin of anger to death. But don't just stop there with your parents. God has given us people this way, but guess what God has given us to help us ultimately? God has given us himself. So you can confess to mom and dad and use them as the tool that they were meant to be, a place where you can go to and mom and dad help you pull sin out of the darkness and into the light, but ultimately you can confess your sin to God. This is the promise that we have. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In killing your sin, you not only love your sibling, but guess what? You also love God by being a sin killer. Okay? Third little treasure. I can love my neighbor with life-giving words to my parents and to my siblings. So you can love your parents by obeying them. You can love your siblings by putting the sin of anger to death. And notice I've brought both together. You can love your neighbor, your parents, your siblings with life-giving words. So the 9th commandment, God spoke and said this, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." False witness is another word for lying. This commandment is talking about lying, and even more broadly, it's talking about the importance of your words. Little ones, looky here. Your words matter. The way you talk to mom and dad matters. The way you talk to your brother or your sister, it matters. Your words are important. And one other way to love your parent, to love your sibling, is to see that your words really matter. The Apostle Paul put it like this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. He said, "Let no corrupting talk come out of our mouths, but only such as is good for building up. So your words are meant to be like a construction team, building up good things in the lives of others. Your words are to fit the occasion, so they're supposed to be appropriate words in any given moment. And your words are to give grace to those who are here. You're supposed to be like a person at Christmas every single day when you walk around with your words, giving people gifts of grace, so that when your words are spoken to your brother, when your words are spoken to your sister, when your words are spoken to your parents, it's almost like they're on the receiving end, getting a gift, and what they do is they open up that gift of your words and go, wow, there was a whole lot of grace in here, and your words have gifted me the ability just to see, like, man, God is really good. You can do this with your words. Words are a powerful thing. Words are a very, very powerful thing. One of the best ways to love the Lord your God and love your neighbor is to consider the words that come out of your mouth. When you're talking to brother, sister, mom, dad, anybody. And it's not only just the words, but it's the attitude behind the words. Anyone know what I'm talking about here? Brady, I love you. There's a way to say that that's genuine, and there's a way to say that where it's like, dude, you don't mean what you say. Because the attitude of your heart is betraying the words that are coming out of your mouth. A great question to ask yourself is this, kiddos. Do my words build up my brother or my sister, or are my words like a wrecking ball? Do my words always tear people down? Some of us think it's funny to tear others down with our words, but that goes against the command to love neighbor as self. And the tone and the attitude of your words to your mom or your dad, is your speech grace robbing or is it grace giving? For some of us, what we enjoy to do as we talk to our parents is we like to think of them as idiots. We like to think of them as someone that we can belittle. What we want to do is not honor their authority, but we want to try to joke maybe in certain ways to make them feel small so that we might feel big. And you can do all of this with, right here, the tongue, your words. And what the invitation of the scriptures is to see that one of the best ways to love your parent, love your sibling, love your neighbor as yourself is to say, by the power of God in me, I want my words to be like a Christmas gift given to the person, not where like I'm a thief robbing grace from them, but like I'm a gift giver, Christmas time. It's like Christmas morning every day when you talk to me, Brady. I'm just giving you gifts, gifts of grace, gifts of grace. The good news is that whether you're a toddler, teenager, somewhere in between, you can love your neighbor with these life-giving words. So here's a truth that you must not forget, little ones. Jesus calls you to love the Lord your God with all that you've got. It's the first, it's the great commandment. And to remember this truth right there, we can't stop here. We have to say, because this is true, he also calls you, me, Pastor Jonathan, mom, dad, anyone else, to love your neighbor as yourself. But here's the problem. All you have to do is just stop and think about your day so far since you've been up before you came to church. And what you'll see is just how many times a day we fail to love God and love neighbor as we're commanded. Did anyone do a little grace robbing with their words on the way to church this morning? Anyone brave enough to raise their hand and admit that one? Ooh, okay, hey, my man, thank you. You and I need to talk. Everyone else is free to leave after church today, okay? All right, so you and I will have a counseling session. Maybe we'll pull in Brady. All you all, you know, you're good to go. Did any one of us love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind? Like, think of it this morning. Alarm goes off. You suck back into consciousness, right? Your eyes open up. From the moment that happened this morning to like right now, the second I'm talking to you, have you loved God with all your heart, soul, and mind every second of every minute of every hour that your head is lifted off the pillow today? So we hear this stuff from Jesus. And this isn't like a, all right, now go be good people who earn their way and make themselves right with God. Just go obey a little command and then like God will put like you over into the good column and it's good people who go to heaven with that. That's not what Jesus is teaching. The law shows us how we can obey these commands, but the law also serves another purpose. It shows us how we cannot keep it, and it shows us how much we need a Savior who has kept it. Because what you guys need to know is there's only one person who's loved the Lord their God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, all their strength, and has loved their neighbor as themselves. And that person has a name, and his name is Jesus. And little ones, if you hear anything from Pastor Jonathan this morning, hear this. Let your inability to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, let your inability, your sin, drive you right, straight to Jesus. Let it force you like a boot in your back, poof, like kick you right into the arms of Jesus. Let your sin remind you of why Jesus took on human flesh, walked among us, died, and rose again. Let your sin remind you that Jesus came to us, unlovely and unloving as we are, to save us from our sins and our failures. And so when this morning you got up and you did not love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, what that reveals to you is, man, like, I need Jesus. Ultimately, I need Jesus to save me. And here's the question I would love for you to take me up on, to go and talk to your parents about. It's this question. Has Jesus saved you? Ask your parents, what does it mean to be saved by Jesus? What does it mean to have my sins forgiven? What does it mean to have eternal life with God? Because really, this is what God wants from you. Intimate relationship, you trusting in Jesus for salvation forever. Amen? So go and talk to your mom and dad and have that conversation with them. I think they would be very delighted to have that conversation with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you speak. Thank you, God, that you don't leave us to our own devices. You don't tell us, hey, love your neighbor, and I sure hope you can figure it out somewhere along the way. But you speak to us, and then you guide us. But then even in the guidance, what it becomes pretty apparent is like, man, I can't do this. Like, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus, that you're in the business of saving sinners. God, thank you for the cross, that at the cross you showed your perfect love to us, and what we've discovered is that's where salvation is found. It's found in Jesus. God, would you do these things even now in the hearts and lives of these little ones? It's in your name I pray. Amen.